Blog Talk Radio.
I need you to pray for me. I need you to care for me. I need you to want me to win. I need to know where I'm headed, cause I know where I'm headed.
We both came up on the gritty streets of Jamaica, Queens. Two street kids, now men. It's sad it had to end this way. But before I go into that, let's start from the beginning.
I've been waiting to murder this clown, baby.
This nigga's done. Are you ready to do this, son?
Crazy? I'm ready to murder this clown.
Son, please,
get me across the street.
Nigga, you ready to go?
I'm ready. I'm ready. Yo, get me across the street. Let me go. Let's go.
Death upon me, blood in my eye, dog, and I can't see. I'm tryna be what I'm destined to be, and niggas tryna take my life away. I put a hole in a nigga for fucking with me. My back on the wall, now you gon' see. Better watch how you talk when you talk about me, cause I'll come and take your life away. Many men, many, 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 many men wish death on me, dog. I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me.
These pussy niggas put money on my head. Go on, get your refund, motherfucker. I ain't dead. I'm the diamond in the dirt that ain't been found. I'm the underground king, and I ain't been crowned. When I rhyme, something special happen every time. I'm the greatest. Something like Ali in his prime. I walk the block with the bundles. I've been knocking the humble. Swing the ox when I rumble, show your ass with my gun do. Gotta tip a nigga, go ahead, lose your head. Turn your back on me, get clapped and lose your leg. I walk around, gun on my waist, chip on my shoulder, top bust a clip in your face. Post for this beef ain't no.
Many men, many, 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 many men wish death on me, Lord. I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Somewhere my heart turned cold. Have mercy on many men. Many, 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 many men wish death.
Sunny days wouldn't be special if it wasn't for rain. Joy wouldn't feel so good if it wasn't for pain. Death gotta be easy, cause life is hard. It'll leave you physically, mentally, and emotionally scarred. This is for my niggas on the block, with some treatments to God. For the niggas on lock, doing life behind bars. I don't see only God can judge me, cause I see things clear. Quick these crackers to give my black ass 100 years. I'm like Paulie and Goodfellas, you can call me the Don. Like Malcolm by any means, with my gun in my palm. Slim switch sides on me, let niggas ride on me. I thought we was cool, why you want me to die, homie?
Many men, many, 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 many men wish death on me, Lord. I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Somewhere my heart turned cold. Have mercy on many men, many, 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 many men wish death on
me. Every night I talk to God, but he don't say nothing back. I know he protected me, but I still stay with my gat and my nightmares. Niggas keep pulling texts on me. Psycho said some bitch done put a hex on me. The feds didn't know much when Pop got shot. I got a kite from the pins that told me Tuck got knocked. I ain't gon' spell it out for you motherfuckers all the time. Are you a literate nigga? You can't read between the lines. In the Bible it says, what goes around comes around. Homo shot me, 3 weeks later he got shot down. Now it's clear that I'm here for a real reason. Cause he got hit like I got hit, but he ain't fucking breathing.
Many men, many, 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 many men wish death on me, Lord. I don't cry no more. Don't look to the sky no more. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Somewhere my heart turned cold. Have mercy on many men. Many, 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 many men wish death on me.
We both came up on the gritty streets of Jamaica, Queens. Two street kids, now men. It's sad it had to end this way.
Good evening. Good evening. Hello, beautiful people. It's good to have you back. Yes, come on in. Come on in. Come on in. We have another beautiful show tonight. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Come on in. The name of the show tonight is America 2021, Dr. Claude Anderson, Powernomics, the original gangster. Yes, he's the original gangster in us getting our reparations. Yes, yes, come on in, come on in. Another great show tonight, another great show. And as usual, per usual, my favorite topic, reparations. Again, the name of the show tonight is America 2021, Dr. Claude Anderson, Powernomics, the original gangster. He's the original gangster of reparations. So if you haven't checked out any of my other shows speaking on reparations, please do check those shows out. Claude Anderson actually has been working as far as researching reparations, I say for over 20 years, because he came out with books and stuff, and he really had the big spot spotlight on him in the 80s when he was speaking on reparations. He has various books you can go and read about, and he's also the founder of Powernomics. Powernomics is speaking on economics and the black community actually going to the next phase of being of building generational wealth within this country, whether we are still in the mental slavery that we have going on. Within that, he's trying to show us how to build economically and how black people can come out of the 400 plus years of slavery. So we have a few books. One of them was the Powernomics book. He have one called Black Labor, White Wealth, Black History Reader 101, More Dirty Little Secrets, and also the first book of Dirty Little Secrets. So those are a few books. Again, Powernomics, Black Labor, White Wealth, A Black History Reader 101, Dirty Little Secrets, and More Dirty Little Secrets are just a few of the books that he have written. Now, as you know, I've been doing this show since like maybe September of 2019, where we were actually going into the race for a presidential election. Now, at that time, Trump was already the president, and he ran the race, ending up being him against Biden. And we know that now, coming into the 2021, that Biden has won despite the allegations of Trump saying that there was fraud and abuse of the voter system, which is, you could, if you research, Dick Gregory said long ago that he thought that the system was rigged and had been rigged since the very start of the voter system. So, again, one more time, the topic of tonight's show is America 2021, Dr. Claude Anderson, Powernomics, the original gangster, because he's the original gangster of reparations. Okay? All right. Now, we all know that Dr. Claude Anderson, if you don't know, he was born in the United States. He got his education at the Wayne State University. Now, it's also on Google says that he was a part of some movies. Those movies was Out of Darkness, The Hidden Colors 5. I think he was also a part of the first Hidden Colors and Black Friday, The Legacy Are You Building. Now, you can go and look him up, either look him up by name or you can look him up by his Powernomics book. I think that will be the best way, the fastest way. He also has the internet. He has the Powernomics.com where it's like a business school where it's a school where you can go and he's teaching on reparations, economics. He's teaching basically Black people on how we can build generational wealth within this next era. Now, the original clip that I wanted to play tonight was a clip of him and Dr. Boyce Watkins. It was actually a clip of 3 weeks ago where Dr. Boyce Watkins have the Black Business School. You may see him on Facebook. And on his Facebook show, he has introduced interviewed Claude Anderson a few times, and I think that it may be a series, you know, to bring attention to reparations. Within the studying of reparations with Claude Anderson, he did mention that one of the things that is needed for everyone to understand to the word out about reparations, we need marketing for it. So I think this will be one of their ploys of marketing or trying to market reparations and, you know, to get it out to the people so the people can Black people could start to, you know, ask for the things that we need because of the suffering of the people. Now, in my research of reparations, I duly noted that because of the 13th and 14th Amendment, I in my perception of it, don't think that we would actually get reparations per se for slavery, but because in this country, not only were Black people, African American, colored people oppressed by slavery, but they were also oppressed by things like racism, like laws, like Jim Crow laws, and other things of that nature laws that individual states have taken upon themselves to adhere to that would in somehow, some way, black Americans, African Americans, colors from actually being able to get their constitutional rights that are afforded to them by being citizens of the government, which is what Martin Luther King and others fought for during the civil rights, was to make us citizens. So because they had made us citizens, the fight had just begun to actually get us as citizens our reparations, like others who have been oppressed, like the Asians that are now who are trying to say that they are being their race, their people are being racist towards them, and they're seeking justice. So they've already had some justice in the United States where they have gotten reparations, and black people who have been here before others who have blood, sweat, and tears went into making this country and making this country the great country that it is today and always have been, have yet to receive an apology or anything for the blood, sweat, and tears that had to endure here in America amidst him. So basically, I want to go ahead, and I don't want to take too much time because I want to get into this clip, and I want to be able to come back at the end of the show and, you know, actually give my rendition of what I felt was being said in the clip and what I thought was the most important thing that was being highlighted. Now, like I said, Mr. Clyde Anderson has been doing this for over 20 years. He's studied reparations. He's helped other countries actually get reparations and write up laws and policies for reparations. So he is the best person. You know, besides, of course, we have organizations like the African American, I don't have it in front of me right now, and it just went out of my head. It's the African American Studies of Reparations. Oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Lord, I have been suffering this last week. Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm not going to no hospital. My ear mostly has, oh, my God. So just please forgive me, y'all. I'll come back at the end of the show with that organization that has also been been studying reparations for over 10 years plus, and they actually have a 10-point system that we should get reasons and 10 things that they think that we should get as far as reparations, as far as, you know, with the education and things of that nature. So be sure to go back and listen to my other shows, because I definitely have all that information in the other shows, okay? So this show tonight is just an refresher to put it back on your brain, because we got to be marketing this, y'all. 2021 is the time. It's time we cannot go beyond 2021 with and think that we could still or can get our reparations. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen now. And I'm not going to say if, because we are due our dues, you know, and it's nothing no one can say or do about it. Now, it might not come in the way that we think or it may or should, you know. It may be that this stimulus and the way this things is coming about is somewhat of reparations, but I shouldn't think not, because we shouldn't have to share any of our reparations with illegal immigrants, any immigrant, you know. There's a lot of people here in America, whites, Mexicans, others who weren't necessarily what most people think is people who were in slavery should only get reparations. But like I said, because of the 13th and 14th Amendment, when we became citizens, also a clause in there that said that we would not be able to get reparations because of becoming citizens. So because of that clause in there in the 13th, 14th Amendment that would keep us from getting reparations because of being citizens. So, but because we are humans and we do have rights up under that Constitution that has been treaded upon, whether it be by our government, by other people using using white supremacy to stay above others, you know. So we're going to get into, I really would like, we're going to get into Boyce Watkins. If you don't know him, he's over the Black Business School. He's a scholar. He was a professor for a long time. So he has a lot of knowledge in helping people to in their finances. And then Claude Anderson, who has been studying reparations, is going to be our best person to go to as far as learning how we can achieve getting reparations this year. All right? So we're going to go to break, and I'll see y'all back after break. Okay? Stay tuned. Now, this is for 48 minutes, so please stay tuned, okay?
No, that's fine, whatever you say. Let's see, but and as Black folk become popular in entertainment, in that safe category, the safe category for elevating Blacks would be entertainment and for anything. But see, then you got other groups going to try to imitate Black folk because they're going to compete with Black folk. As you have an increasing number of Hispanics coming into the country, they're going to try to displace Black folk. That's one of the negatives about social integration in this country. They're going to try to, if Black folk have a congressional Black caucus in Washington, the Hispanics, when they come in, they're going to get them a Hispanic caucus. If Black folk are singing, all the music in this country, let's go back a little further. All the music in this country came out of the Black experience. Black people in this world have always had a genius, a talent for creating music. That's a genius and talent that we have. But all the music in this country that you now hear people singing, it came out of the Black experience in this country. Whites didn't bring any music into this country. It's only they came in here was singing at classic music and a waltz dance. The music and the dance in this country for 460 years have come out of the Black community. But again, But that blacks should be dominating and controlling it. But every time they do it, whites take it over. Blacks created country and western music. Came out of the black experience. Hillbilly music is black experience. Folk songs came out of the black experience. Jazz came out of the black experience. But in the old days, the jazz music was called jackass music. They cut it short from jackass to jazz. That's where the term came. Y'all don't know that. That's where jazz came from. Whites used to call that jackass music.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm telling you. Big band sounds, all the big band, you all about Ben Cosby and all these other singers and that sang black music, the big band sounds, that came up. They replaced dominating, try to push out Count Basie and all those black big musicians. They took that over. Our blue music was a boogie woogie and rhythm and blues when whites took it over with Bill Haley and the Comets and Elvis Presley. Carl Perkins, they started trying to sing black music after integration. Integration allows whites to come into your community and take your music from you. They captured your music and took the song like Big Maybell, took her music and called it was Shake, Rattle, and Roll. They took that and made that white, so black music. They made it white music and called it Rock and Roll. Then they built a museum up in Ohio where it's saying, in the future, you black folk can't just sing your music anymore. We're going to change it and put it under us. Then we'll tell you how many of you can come into them. To the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we'll take your music and change it. And black folk are stupid enough to run away and they say, well, wait a minute, you're going to take my music and you're going to change it and you're going to capitalize on it, call yourself the Rolling Stones and all this and play our music, and sing our songs, imitate us, and become a fortune off it. Black folk never learn how to practice power numbers principles, control everything from the bottom to the top. Watch anybody take all your music. And they got with Kenny G now. Kenny G is the king of jazz, and Elvis Presley, he's the king of blues, of rock and roll, and Vanilla Ice and a couple of
Eminem is the new Vanilla Ice in a way.
Eminem, same thing. Why do you ever ask yourself, why would our people be so damn silly? Even when somebody forced you to say the only elevation you're going to have to popularity and wealth and power is through this safe category called being an entertainer. Then when we put most of you over there, then we're going to take that from you. We're going to take that with that only thing we gave you. We're going to take that away from you. If a black person right now had a pimple on his butt, whites would go grab and squeeze it, try to take that from him. So, but now people say, that sure feel good because you squeezed that pimple. I mean, Lord, give me a break. That's before we leave today, we're going to talk about this new movement I'm going to be promoting called the Us Two Movement. And that'll be starting with this broadcast today. And by the first of the year, I'm going to be promoting across this country an Us Two Movement. Us Two means only for black folk. Mm-hmm. Us Two means no isms in it. I've never been interested in any isms or horizontal issues. Us is something that's vertical. Racism is a vertical issue. Racism will pertain to issues between blacks and whites. But we're going to start our Us Two Movement, which says that now we're going to not be in any ism. The only ism we in is our ism and blackism. And we're going to develop using those Powernomics books from the bottom to the top and learn how to play the game and win. This movement is going to kick off in sometime the first of the year and probably have a big assembly here in Washington, D.C. the first of February for Black History Month. We're going to start playing to win as a team. To do two things, Dr. Watkins, is to try to reverse two of the major things that happened to black folk. Yes, the black folk was stripped of their pride. They were stripped of their heritage. They were stripped of their self-concept. But the two things that were most damaging to black folk is that slavery and Jim Crow segregation stripped them of the two key things that they've never been able to get. One, the first one, they stripped them of the control of ownership of resources in this country. Black people in this America has never been able to own and control more than 0.5% or 1% of anything of value. It's impossible in theory and practice for you to be a competitive group. Going back to your point of question about competitiveness, it is impossible. I don't give a damn what a civil rights leader tell you or these integrations tell you. It is impossible for you to continue to survive owning and controlling 0.5% or 1% of anything of value, of importance in this country. That's why slavery, the purpose of slavery has never been challenged nor corrected in this country. And I'm personally sick and tired of black leaders getting up on TV talking about we're going to save the world. We're going to save the gays, the midgets, and the humpbacks. And they yet never address the issue of what happened to black folk during slavery and Jim Crow segregation. The primary purpose of slavery was to maldistribute 100% all this nation's land, resources, minerals, rights, businesses, income, privileges, and controls of all levels of government into the hands of the dominant white society. How the hell are you going to compete with one half or 1% of anything of value? You don't control anything. They said, well, how about rights and privileges? Rights and privileges are determined by what you own and control. If you don't own and control anything, you have no rights and privileges. I've told blacks that now for 60 years in politics. Rights and privileges come from what you own and control. If I don't own and control Trump Tower, I don't have any rights and privileges in it. God knows you know that. But no black leaders will tell you that. Owning and controlling is the key, wealth and resources and power. And yet our people keep playing this game about we're going to be competitive. We're going to get, they won't give us any rights and privileges. The Constitution says you're not going to have any rights. You'll never own and control anything of more than one half of 1%. That's exactly where you were in 1860 at the eve of the Civil War. Today, you still own one half of 1%. And that's why these Asians and Arabs are going to eat your breakfast and your lunch. They're coming here. They're coming here to own and control. They say, well, you black folks, you got the right to vote. Nobody gives a damn about voting. Voting controls nothing. Nothing. People got money, wealth. They don't have to vote. I don't care if you're in organized crime. You don't have to vote. You control the damn politicians. Only black folk are silly enough to let people keep telling them, well, we got to go out there and vote more often. We got to get out, increase our voting. And because you're outnumbered 10 to 1. 10 will go over 1. 10 will pass over 1 10 times with nothing left over, Dr. Watkins. Who cares about your vote? You can vote. Donald Trump got 400% more black vote in the last election. He hadn't done a damn thing for black folk. The Democratic Party has been getting vote power ever since 1860. They haven't done anything for black folk. Republican Party, they did try to help you for a 10-year period between 1865 and 1875. They haven't done anything for black folk. It's not voting. Voting is a way, it's like intellectual masturbation. It just exercise, make you feel good. It's like starving to death and being hungry and taking a steak and rubbing it outside your stomach. Rubbing a steak outside your stomach doesn't satisfy your need for food. I mean, let me break right there because I'm getting a little angry about my people. I love black folk, but I'm tired of them letting people sell them out and mistreat them and make a fool. That's why white folk right now tell me, Dr. Anderson, we appreciate hearing you, but we think black folks are a joke. You're a joke. Your whole race is a joke. Going back to that safe category. That's why right now most of the blacks on TV right now they got programmed. They're comedians. Go look at the comedians. They're jokes. We want them to be jokes. Let them shuck and jive and entertain us. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to give you a speech.
No, that was a great speech. Everybody, please say something digitally. Let Dr. Anderson know you appreciate the fact that he loves us and represents us in a way that nobody else does. And I want everybody to know who I'm talking to in case you just came in. I'm talking to Dr. Claude Anderson. Dr. Claude Anderson is one of the great historical figures, one of the great thinkers of all time. He has written the books Powernomics, Black Labor, White Wealth, The Black History Reader, and Dirty Little Secrets, Part 1 and 2. And you can actually get copies of these books, which I recommend. Add them to your library for your family. Go to powernomics.com, and you can get copies of these books in a bundle. If you want to support harvestinstitute.org, you can. That's where his think tank is. And also make sure you hit that real quick as we move on. Hit that thumbs up button if you're on YouTube. Hit that like, share, subscribe button. And also don't forget drboyceseminars.com is where you can go if you want to join the lecture tonight. We're doing an 8 p.m. lecture on how to quit your job, make more money, and figure out how to navigate the economic system without a job. So that's drboyceseminars.com. So that's a lot of information. Take what you want. We're here for the community, and that's what it is. And one thing I want to mention also, Dr. Anderson, as we move forward is, so he mentioned this Us Too movement. So Dr. Anderson wants to initiate a movement that is as strong as the Me Too movement, stronger than the Me Too movement, that basically is about us, you know, about us and us only. I think it's necessary because when you talk about things like reparations, the only way we're going to get it is if we force people to focus, we start demanding something for our vote, and we just don't take any excuses from anybody. So I want everybody in this thread, please make a statement, to make a commitment right now that you're going to make a comment on your social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, anywhere, and use the hashtag #UsToo. Make a statement. You know, I believe black people deserve reparations. Put the hashtag #UsToo. That's the pound symbol, and then write #UsToo, U-S-T-O-O. If you share a video, you want to do a video on YouTube, use the hashtag #UsToo. If you share an image about what they did to us in slavery, Share that image, put us too. Make a comment, get it. If you get into a Twitter fight with somebody about this issue, you know, then use the hashtag us too. And let's really push this hashtag, because we got to push 10 times harder, because the Me Too movement has 10 times more people. Okay. So in order for us to make this work, every single person watching this video right now has to commit to being a part of this. You are either part of the solution or you don't exist. Okay. So everybody, I want everybody in here to exist. I will see you. I will check that hashtag. Just all you got to do, hashtag us too on your social media. Every person in here, please give me a commitment right now. Right now, it ain't going to cost you nothing. Don't cost you a penny to use the hashtag. Give me a commitment right now that you're going to use the hashtag us too to make sure we can set this sucker off and let people know that we ain't playing in 2019. Let them know we ain't playing. So that's it, Dr. Anderson. So we can move on.
Can I pick up before you leave that point?
Oh, yes, sir. Please,
and you said you hit the nail right on the head. I want black folks to understand the us too movement means that we are exceptional people. We are special people. And we're not going to be playing the game anymore, carrying everybody else's water, putting other groups ahead of us. Is we are special people, and that's why I say, and all my this movement will be an us too movement for black folk, and I'm gonna try to premise it starting off the first of the year, based on the exceptionality of black folk. We're the only people that've been excluded and left out of everything. We're the only people that've been subordinated, there's nobody in America like black folk. We are the people that were the economic engines that drove this country's development. Black folk, not Hispanics, not Arabs, not Asians, not American Indians. Black people were the ones that were the engines of economic development in this country. We were the labor class. We're the only people that denied a right to be called an immigrant. And you keep bringing immigrants in and giving them rights and privileges and economic benefits, excluding black folk. And you keep giving benefits to gender people, to gender groups, and bi-gender groups and tri-gender groups, but you don't give it to black folk. And black folk are the people that were excluded. Nobody has enslaved any genders, any bisexual, trisexual, transsexuals. They enslave black folk. We are exceptional people. And right now, when we start our movement, we're going to start challenging everything, and we're going to start demanding. No more marching and begging. No more than marching and praying. We're going to start demanding that we be included in all the things that we're entitled to, including three or four things. First, recognition. That's why my book's Dirty Little Secrets is about recognizing black folk. And appreciation, that's power numbers, appreciating them for all the things that black folk brought and did in this country that have gone unknown and unrecognized and unappreciated. And lastly, to be reparated for what they've done. They've given reparations to every group in this country except black folk. And yet black folk are the oldest people in the country. Then black people in America, the native blacks, 99% of the blacks in America were here before 99% of all the whites, Asians, Arabs, Indians, East, everybody arrived. But yet they've been excluded because black folk don't demand a damn thing. That's why they get nothing. So the new Us Too movement, they'll start demanding stuff for us strictly and foremostly. We're not voting for anybody and supporting anybody that won't support us. We're going to have a national movement, and I want every black to go out and buy those books, go to powernomics.com and buy that library pack. That library pack starts at the bottom with black labor, white wealth, and takes you all the way up to the top to the black reader. It'll tell you everything you need to do, what your problems are. The black readers, those five books will tell you this. It'll tell you exactly how you got where you are. It'll tell you what's been keeping you where you are. And it'll tell you what you got to do in terms of solution to get the hell out of where you are. Those five books are called the Library Pack on powernomics.com. And buy the Library Pack for $99 and get all five of those books with a DVD on how you educate black children. And when we start this, if you want to be a part of this movement, then you better get those books. If you don't want it, don't come around and ask me anything anymore. I put in 60 years fighting for black folk in this country and around the world. If you're not serious, stay away from me. Don't buy anything from Power Numbers. Black folk must get serious. This is 2019. This is the last chance we're going to get. We're going to be kicking it off and say, no, we're going to stand up now and say we are special people. And nobody's going to get anything over us. And all this thing about immigrants and women, that's in violation of the Constitution. The 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, and the civil rights laws were written strictly and solely for black folk, not for a handicap, not for midgets, not for women, not for trisexual, bisexual, Asians, Arabs, or Hispanics. They were written for black folk. And if you start giving those people benefits over black folk, it's unconstitutional, illegal. And we're going to start challenging all the laws in this country that have shut black folks down for 460 years. We have not moved one iota because we don't demand, we don't understand. But the new movement called Us to Move, we're going to start understanding and moving. I thank you, Dr. Watkins.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I think that I think everybody else appreciates it. I can see everybody's made a commitment to use the Us to hashtag. And I'll remind you guys of that. I'll keep bringing it up. Us to, in case you want to talk about how we agree to spell it, let's use T-O-O. U-S-T-O-O, U-S-T-O-O. You might even also want to hashtag it also with terms like reparations, things like that, so that we can make sure that the message gets out. Tell your friends and push it out there. So I'm talking to Dr. Claude Anderson, author of the book Poweronomics. And now, Dr. Anderson, I want to ask you a little bit about something that you know quite a bit about. It's about affirmative action. I know you know a lot about affirmative action and reparations, which kind of go hand in hand in the sense that people believe, some of us believe that one substitutes for the other. You were part of the group that helped to initiate affirmative action and write the first affirmative action programs, if I'm not mistaken. I want to read something from you that you wrote in the Black History Reader about why affirmative action has not worked for Black Americans. I'd love for you to address some of this just based on, you know, what your initial thoughts are as I read this. And I'll read maybe through the first three, and then we can jump, and then you can talk about that. Then when I read the last three. The first one is you said that affirmative action has not worked for Black Americans for several reasons. One, the targeted groups for affirmative action benefits are intentionally nonspecific and ambiguous. Two, women were intentionally included in affirmative action to become the dominant beneficiary group, even though historically they've been a protected class as stipulated by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1860. Three, newly arriving immigrants are included in the affirmative action programs, even though there's no record of them being abused nor exploited by the U.S. government. So it almost sounds like you're making reference to the fact that they made the laws deliberately ambiguous so that it wouldn't benefit Black folks. They threw in women, so white women become the greatest beneficiaries since they're the majority of the population. And three, immigrants, which is something that a lot of Black people support, this mass flow of immigration into the U.S. Immigrants are included in the programs, which kind of push Black people to the back of the pool. Can you kind of speak to that?
Yes, thank you. Well, that whole coding system started in 1789 with the United States Constitution. And because what most people don't know, and most of our leadership never tell us or inform our people, is that the United States Constitution was the first affirmative action plan in the United States, Dr. Watkins. The United States, the state's constitution is an affirmative action plan. It's an affirmative action plan strictly and solely for whites. That's what it was written for. It was to be able to empower, enrich them. And they use that under a concept called the American dream, which means anybody coming to America as a European could come to America. And contrary to what you read and the BS they put in these books about, well, they came here looking for religious freedom and for the right to vote. No, they didn't. No person came from around the world, slave to America, for looking for happiness and the right and freedom. They came here looking for wealth and power. And that's when they came here. That's why they all came. They ain't even get rich. That's why on the bottom of the Constitution it says, give me your poor, your homeless, your hungry, your downbeats. And that's why the Europeans clean out their prisons and the military institutions, sent all the cripples and dumb but whites, Europeans to America to get free land. Everyone came here and got 660 acres of free land just landing here. Then again, and for every slave they owned, they got another 150 acres. This country gave immigrants coming to America almost 2 billion, with a B, acres of free land, and in that land, all the wealth that was in it. Not only the timber, the land, the gold, the silver, the chrome, the gas, the bauxite, but see, Black people couldn't get not one free acre. They damn sure wouldn't give them 40 acres and a mule. And so consequently, that was affirmative action for whites. And then in the 1790s, they set up an immigration policy. Any immigrants coming here, they can come here and look for the American dream. But so Black folk are the only non-immigrants. That's why in all these immigration programs, Blacks are excluded. You don't get anything out of the immigration program. There is no DACA program for Black folk. A few Blacks you got coming in from Haiti, every time they would come in, they put them in prison and ship them right back to Haiti because they're not qualified to be immigrants. And yet you let Black folk, let politicians step in front of you talking about this is a nation of immigrants. Yes, it is, but not for Black people. And that's how they get all these benefits. That's why immigrants can go to can don't have to pay tuition. That's why they got all. That's why Obama gave them $3.5 billion down in Texas just to get them housing, clothing, food, but didn't get put a darn penny into Philadelphia, Detroit, and Chicago for Black folk. They can get anything because they're immigrants. Immigrants in this country, because of the affirmative action program, they get five benefits over Black folk. from the Affirmative Action Program. Any immigrant come to this country, he gets the benefits for being an immigrant. Blacks are not immigrants, so they don't get those benefits. They can't get into those immigration programs. Two, they get classified as a minority because they use that broad term to make them equal to black folk. Because the issue in this country was never based on minorities. It was based on a race issue, competitive ratio between blacks and whites. Three, they get advantages for having a language. Four, they get classified as whites. All the immigrants coming to this country are classified as whites, except black folk. And lastly, they get benefit for having a language. That's why they can go and build businesses in all these communities and use their language and get TV stations, radio stations, because we got Telemundo and two television networks. They get them because they say we got a different language. We get special programs. That's why all the great society programs of the 1950s and 60s were converted over to help Hispanics. Well, even Sesame Street and stuff like that, but it used to be all these black programs were converted over to be language programs for immigrants. So affirmative action, in concluding, affirmative action now is supposed to be corrective action, correcting something that the system has done specifically to handicap or to depreciate a specific group of people. All these people in America, 99% of these people were not in the country when black folk were being handicapped and deprecated and enslaved and Jim Crow segregated. They weren't even here. So affirmative action plan has never benefited them, Dr. Watkins, but it's supposed to be corrective action. The only other affirmative action program of any consequence besides the United States Constitution, I wrote in 1970. I didn't write the affirmative action plan for minorities and poor folk and people of color, peg leg and one-eyed people. I wrote it for black people. But within 6 months, it was converted over to use the same concept and techniques they used in the Constitution. They used very broad, ambiguous terms so they can hide black folk and make black folk invisible. They use broad terms like minorities, poor folk, people of color, multicultural, diversity. Those terms are used to smother and hide and make black folk be indivisible so nobody see how they continue being screwed over and denied resources. Any black person, they use those terms, whether it would be outside of the Me Too or Us Too movement. We're not going for that. And we're going to shut all those things down. So I appreciate knowing that affirmative action is something that will lead to reparations. Everybody's gotten reparations but black folk, and everybody's gotten affirmative action advantages but black folk. So we're going to set up our own program and start demanding with a new movement that started in 2019 called the Us Too movement, and I'm going to have a major conference on that coming up sometime in the first of the year.
All right. Well, everybody, make sure show your love to Dr. Anderson. Don't forget, the movement is us, O-O, not the number two. So us two. Let's not get it confused like Tupac. I know some people spell Tupac with a T-U. Some people spell it with the number two. Well, us two is just like me two, except instead of me, it's going to be us. Everybody, please make a commitment to on your social media. After this is over with, go make a comment, do a video, whatever you want to do. Take a picture, share a picture, whatever it is you want to share on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, everywhere else. Use the hashtag us too, and let's basically let people know that we're just changing the whole game. We're not bullshitting anymore. We're going to start doing things the way it's supposed to be done. And so what he's really saying to everybody, and I want everybody to understand this, is he's saying that a lot of this terminology that you get brainwashed on this when you go to a lot of white universities, where they still oppress black people. You go with, like when I went to UCLA, y'all saw me, I had that public fight with UCLA, over the fact that I said, wait a minute, y'all don't even accept any African-American males. You don't hire black faculty members, but you always love to bring black people in to go basketball, to go football. And in places like this, our children go to these schools and they come out using all this weak, watered-down terminology. And then they don't understand why they can't get ahead in this world. Because this is a white man's world until we decide that it's not going to just be a white man's world anymore. So we got to have power. We got to fight. We got to do what we're supposed to do. So this movement is the first step in that direction. We're changing the whole paradigm on everything. So, Dr. Anderson, let me ask you this.
Let me jump in one more time. This is a paper from the Washington Post. And what it's saying here is that suit challenges Harvard's secretive admission process. Asians are now saying that they oppose having racial admission policies in white universities because, see, they are not a part of a race. And they're doing the same thing that the Jews did back in 1967, 1968, with the Davis thing, saying that it's discriminatory towards whites to have policies where black folk can come in under quotas into the school system. And now the Asians are saying the same thing, because what they're saying is that we're not a race. We have been officially classified as whites. We're on probation all the way from the 1880s to be white. Now we're official whites. We are in opposition to discriminatory policies based on quotas for admission to the Harvard University schools. That's what they're saying. The Jews did the same thing, because right now the only people in this country who are not classified as whites are black people. And therefore they oppose any kind of quota systems, because they say that we're going to go, because we're a group, we got our cohesiveness. And Dr. Anderson is trying to start a Us Too movement based on two things: recapturing resources for black folk, and secondly, to bring about black cohesiveness. Those are two things that strip black folk of their ability to be competitive: no resources and no social cohesiveness. It is impossible right now to bring a number of blacks together anytime, any place, and vote collectively and act collectively on a single issue that's in the best interest of black folk, because whites stripped us of our social cohesiveness through the enslavement process. So that's two of the major components of our Us Too movement. One is that we're going to go after resources, controlling our own resources, to get more than 0.5% or 1%. We should have 13% of everything. We're down to 0.5%. We've been 0.5% now for 150 years. And next thing, we're going to start coming together, playing as a team. No more wearing great integrationists. No marching to be going to everybody else's school, their neighborhoods, their hotels, their restaurants, and giving our money to them. They've treated blacks like guests. It's time for blacks to cease and desist and being treated as a guest in America.
Okay, so did y'all get that? Did y'all get that? So we're going to have to unravel and unpack a lot of brainwashing to get on board with this movement. It's us too. That's the hashtag, U-S-T-O-O. You know, and what I want everybody to do is I want you to feel free to challenge the ideas. You know, don't just believe it just because we said it. I want you to really believe it because you understand it. I want you to believe it because you've thought about it, and you thought about the alternatives. You thought about what they told you in the civil rights movement. You thought about what your white history teacher taught you when you were in school. You thought about what you see people on TV saying that black people should do. And then I want you to ask yourself, you know, has any of this worked? Where has any of this worked? And if you are fully convinced that none of this is working, then I would ask you to give Powernomics a try, and let's change the game. Let's shift the paradigm of thinking amongst at least some of us, so that eventually once we achieve power, then we'll be joined by the rest of us. I guarantee you that much, because everybody likes to play for the winning team. So everybody in here, Dr. Anderson, I want you to know everybody in here that comes into these conversations, they are, in my mind, they are part of the talented 10th. And the talented 10th to me is not based on education level. It's not based on an income level, none of that stuff. It's based on your ability to see a vision for the future that is better than what we have right now. It's based on your willingness to do something different and to get away from these systems in order to build something of your own. So the talented 10th are people who are builders and visionaries. And these are the people that I believe are going to build the community. They're, in my mind, they're almost like the Navy SEALs of the black community. You know, you got your regular troops, and you got your Navy SEALs, and you got your specialists. And these are the specialists. These are the first responders that are going to step out here and build the world. And then I guarantee you, once they start building that world, other black folks are dying to be free. They're going to jump out. It reminds me, it's almost like The Wiz when, if you remember The Wiz, you know, Dorothy was about to get killed. Diana Ross, you know, played Dorothy. She was about to get killed by the witch, and somehow she turned the tables and killed the witch. And what happened? All the little minions who worked for the witch, they all came out of their clothes and started dancing. You know, can you feel a brand new day? Like, I believe black folks are like that. I believe we got a whole lot of black people who are hiding, who are scared, who are confused, who are brainwashed. And I believe that once they see real black power take a mighty blow at white supremacy, I believe that a lot of those people are going to jump into the movement, start educating their kids in the right way, and they're going to go back 20 years ago. It'll be 2040, the year 2040. They're going to go back and watch a video you and I made in 2018, and they'll be teaching their kids based on that, and they're going to say, don't do what I did. This is the way to go. So I want to say thank you for that. I think that what you're doing is extraordinary. And also I want to remind everybody, and then Dr. Anderson, I'm going to let you get the last word on the affirmative action piece. I would like to remind everybody, Dr. Anderson's website where his books can be found is powernomics.com. So if you'd like to get these books, they're excellent Christmas gifts. I think a Powernomics pack for Christmas is literally probably about the most empowering thing you could do for a family member or a child. I really do believe that. And then the next most empowering thing you could do is make them read it. Just offer them, tell your child, I'll give you $20 for every two chapters you read in Powernomics. And that's going to stay with them for life. They're going to be talking about this when they're 50. They're going to say, my mama made me read Powernomics when I was a little boy. That's why I'm so strong. So this is long-term thinking. So I want everybody to feel free to give it a try. Go to Powernomics.com. I mean, you're going to spend $1,000 on toys and nonsense anyway, right? Some of us are. Why not drop $100 or whatever it is to get the Powernomics pack? Because that's going to last your family forever. A toy's going to last about 6 months till your child gets tired of playing with it. Okay, so Dr. Anderson, I'd like to ask if you have a last, you know, comment on this affirmative action issue. And also, the Black History Reader, just to finish that point, on page 201, as you list the six reasons why affirmative action has not worked for Black people, the fourth thing you mentioned is that affirmative action policies are intentionally targeted to areas such as higher education, admissions, contract bids, and representation and employment, rather than to correct the maldistribution of the nation's land, wealth, material resources, preferences, privileges, and controls of all levels of government. Next, you said Black leaders and liberals surrendered to the realities of racism and political correctness and abandoned Blacks for inclusion in a movement for all people, irrespective of how they have been treated historically. And then three, you said, most importantly, the number of benefit groups was intentionally expanded because white society was unwilling to surrender or share its inherited privileges or wealth received from Black enslavement. So to summarize and to sum this up into a question, it seems like you were arguing that the affirmative action policies were targeted to the wrong areas, that it was, you know, sort of the watered down stuff, education, admissions, contract bids, et cetera, instead of the redistribution of actual wealth. Two, you said our liberals or our leaders and our allies sold us out. And then three, you said the group for affirmative action was intentionally expanded because white folks didn't want to share the money. Can you kind of speak to some of that?
Yes, let me pick the first one you mentioned about education. See, why would black folk now give up their communities and their school system to the same people who passed laws doing slavery? Doing slavery, it would cost you it'll cost you 39 lashes and $100 to be caught teaching a Black person to read and write during slavery. For 360 years, it was illegal for a Black person to learn how to read and write. And yet, as soon as they come out of slavery, guess what they did with their kids? Well, I'm going to turn my kids back over to that same guy who said it was illegal for me to wouldn't teach me to read and write. I'm going to let him now teach my children. Whites are not interested in trying to educate your children to be competitive with theirs. So in Powernomics principles, what I say, rather than closing down all the Black schools, I fought this when I was in the South. Why would you close down all the Black schools and then fire all the Black teachers, Black counselors, Black administrators, and then bust 75% of the Black kids into white schools and put the others in special education classes? Instead of saying, no, you build your own communities under Powernomics principles and say, now we're going to build our own school system. And in every Black city in the United States, don't let people come in and gentrify it and privatize it. So, no, we're going to keep our own communities, and I want to build at least two magnet schools in every Black community where those schools will have the best teachers, the best equipment, the smartest people, the most competent people that would base their teaching and instructional programs around acute interest, special needs of Black children. Black children have different needs than white children. White children are the descendants of slave owners. Black children are the descendants of the slaves. They have different interests in biological, physiological, and financial needs than white kids. But yet all the schools now, Black kids have been shipped off to white schools. And then we have to stop that and close them down and rebuild your own schools. And more importantly, rather than talking about the class issues dealing with schools, like what school you went to and what your educational level, Black folk have to understand that they hold a record for the highest educational achievements on this earth. They have the highest economic. Nobody on this earth, not Jews, not Asians, have ever been able to be competitive with Black folk in learning skills. They don't teach you that. Because you know why? Because if we live in our society, a race-based society, the kids are no more than how they perceive by the dominant society. If white society right now has a ranking order of acceptability, where it's based on skin color, white, yellow, brown, Black down to the bottom, Black folk, as I told you earlier, would go and try to be exactly what white folk want them to be. If Black folk go, and that's why Black folk on the bottom, educationally speaking. Nobody places a big emphasis on Black folk being the best achievers in school. They're going to be learning how to play football, basketball, tell jokes, and sing and dance. And so, but in history, that between, that, as I say, when blacks came out of slavery, as an example, from 1865 to 1895, that 96% of black folk could not read and write. In the 30 years' time they got freed, they set about trying to educate their own children in their own communities. And guess what? They reduced their literacy rate from 96% down to 42% in 30 years. No Asians, no Arabs, no Jews have ever been able to say they've been enslaved for 360 years and come out and cut their literacy rate in half in 30 years by their damn selves. Black, and that, but the problem is that black benefits never follow the education. Sending your kid to get an education doesn't mean a damn thing if you haven't got an economy behind it, Dr. Watkins. That's why in 1950, a black teacher with a master's degree could not earn 50% half of what a white high school dropout could earn. Because we don't have an economy. We don't practice group economics. And so therefore our education becomes almost irrelevant and unnecessary. I got black kids right now working at McDonald's and Taco Bell with bachelor's degrees hanging out, pushing food out the window because they have no economy to compensate them. The benefits for black folks with education do not follow black folk with money. That's your problem. We don't get the money for our education. White folks still set and determine what your value is when you get an education. You got to go work for them in their neighborhoods and their businesses. 97% of black folk don't even work in their own communities or their own businesses. And so I go across all these things. I just use an education as an example because we got the resources. If we learn how to practice group economics and build our own communities and put up our own school system and put the best teachers, the best equipment, and the best conditions in our own schools to address the acute needs, the special exceptional needs of black children. That's what the Us Too movement means. Focusing on us and the needs of our children and quit putting them on buses, send them over to the white neighborhoods where they're a minority and treated like a minority all damn day long. Have some respect for your own people. Start at home with your own communities. Don't let people come in and gentrify all the cities. They're gentrifying all the cities and privatizing the resources right now so black folk will be back where they were 150 years ago.
So it almost sounds like college is almost like a white people's training program. You know, there's just you're being trained to fit into a system, and that system is not for you. The system is not built for you. These universities were built to get employees for their businesses, and we need to have businesses and build universities and develop our own process. And I like what you're saying. I agree with you 100%. I hope everybody's listening. I hope that you're hearing what Dr. Anderson said. It looks like we're almost out of time, but I want everybody to make sure when you leave here, please let's keep that commitment to each other. Use that hashtag us too. And then I want you to remember that. Just tell people about it so that we can push forward the agenda. I'll keep you guys posted on any events that surround the us too movement. I just found out about it today from Dr. Anderson, but I support it 100%. And just know we're shifting the paradigm. We're shifting the conversation. And some people are going to get mad. But that's what happens. When you get real power, they get mad. When you don't have power, they like you. We don't want nobody. We don't need nobody liking us unless they're helping to do whatever we're trying to do. But really, even then, I don't think we need any help. I believe in black people. I believe, Dr. Anderson, I believe more in the ability of black people to do for ourselves than I believe in the desire of white people to do it for us. You know, that's what it is. It's like you got two choices if you're black. You either believe that white people are going to do it for us or you believe that black people can do it for us. I believe black people can do it for us because I believe black people will always love black people more than white people can love black people. And I think that that's important to know. So Dr. Anderson, I want to say thank you. And also everybody, powernomics.com is where Dr. Anderson's books are. He's the author of great, of wonderful books, best books you'll ever read, Powernomics, the Black History Reader, Black Labor, White Wealth, and Dirty Little Secrets, 1 and 2. And there's all kinds of stuff in this pack. Feel free to get out for your family. You can go to powernomics.com and get that discount. And also, I want to remind everybody, please hit that thumbs up button and the share, subscribe, and like button. And also, if you want to come to our seminar on how to make money and how to make more money and quit your job and stuff like that, we're actually laying that out for you so you can leave your job and also figure out ways to develop streams of income, which is very important for your long-term economic development. Feel free to go to drboyceseminars.com. That's drboyceseminars.com. You can check it out. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine too. You can get a free copy of my book, It Takes a Village to Raise the Bar. Go to drboycewatkins.net drboycewatkins.net. So thank you very much, Dr. Henderson. I appreciate it.
And tell him one last thing. Tell him to understand that the Us Too movement is not about hate. We don't hate anybody. We're not against anybody. What our movement would be is simply Us Too means that we place our interests, our own people's welfare and needs, and our uniquenesses above all others. And not that we're against anybody. That racism is a team sport. You play as a team or you lose by default. And just because we play as a team, just like Jews play as a team, Indians, Asians, Arabs all play as a team, we're going to play as a team. We're not against anybody. But we are. But what our movement means that we're not against anybody is that we're for our own people first and foremost. And that's why we're going to be a new force in this country, socially and economically and politically, based on an Us Too movement that will be starting this coming year in 2019. And all your students and members of your audience, they're going to be a part of it. We're going to have a network across this country that's going to be 44 million strong. And we're going to, in that way, we're going to demand the things that we've been entitled to for 460 years.
All right. Well, y'all heard it. Hashtag is Us Too, U-S-T-O-O. So everybody use the hashtag. And I want to say thank you to everybody. Thank you, Dr. Henderson, for your time. And I look forward to bringing you back in. And this was real. Tell me this was not the greatest conversation you've heard all week or all month. For some people, maybe your whole life, this man is a national treasure, and I rep him and I speak of him regularly because there is no other version of him that I can think of anywhere else, you know. And the other people are doing good things. There's a few people out here that are doing wonderful things, but Dr. Henderson and his books are a national treasure. So thank you very much, Dr. Henderson, for being here.
Thank you for inviting me, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right, my friend. I'll see you soon.
Thank you now.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, we're back. We are back. All right, if you just joined in, that was a clip with Boyce Watkins and Dr. Claude Anderson. And the name of our show tonight is America 2021, Dr. Claude Anderson, Powernomics, the original gangster. Yes, he's the original gangster of reparations because he, as you may have heard in the clip if you came in, he has been fighting for reparations for over 60 years, y'all. 60 years. So this is the man that if anyone wants to know about reparations, any information, he can provide that for you. If you want to know any information, how you can further yourself in the future for your family, build generational wealth, he and Dr. Boyce are the man for you. You will go online and you can either go to powernomics.com or you can go to theblackbusinessschool.com. You can also find them on, you can find Boyce Watkins on Facebook. And check them out, y'all, because Claude Anderson have plenty of books. He did mention that he has a collection on powernomics.com that you can go and get a set where it's five of his books together to add to your collection for those book readers or for those who have a library for their children. Now, any of the clips I had before or the clip that we used tonight that you just heard, you can go on YouTube. The one we just heard tonight was actually, I think, from a year ago. But like I said, they did one recently, 3 weeks ago from Facebook, and it is on YouTube. And like I said, and also you heard in the clip, Claude Anderson has been researching and not just researching, fighting for Black people to get reparations in America for over 60 years. Now, the information that I have in other my other videos, also you can go back and check out where I did a brief history where he and other organizations have not only been fighting for reparations here in America, but they've also in other countries have helped set policies forth or was a part of the teams that brought together the ideas for the policies or are in action today in other countries where others, and also here in America, where the Asians, they've also worked on those boards to help Asians get reparations. Like Claude Anderson said in the clip, he also sat on the board where he, where they set in affirmative action. So, you know, and at the time or currently also, but for sure at that time, he stated that affirmative action and also civil rights were intended only for blacks, but they used ambiguous disguises like words like minority, multicultural, and things of that nature to get laws passed where people are using civil rights but don't have those rights to use civil rights. You know, they just don't because it was only intended for black people. So, again, if you just came on tonight, the name of the show tonight was Black America. We're speaking about Dr. Claude Anderson, who is an author and have sat on numerous boards and have and he's an activist, and he have been fighting for reparations for over 60 years. Currently, he has a website online called thepowernomics.com where you could actually go and he have special programs where he's marketing and he's trying to get the black people together to actually start fighting together. He has the programs, he has everything set for that we would need to actually fight for reparation. But as we come into the new year, 2021, which I have been talking about this since 2020, and no one, a few people even believe that they can get reparations. People dare to even think the thought, would laugh at you to even say anything about black people getting reparations. Like, they have no hope. All hope is gone. So the reason why I'm speaking about this today, because I am very passionate about us getting reparations and have been since I've been on the show and, you know, probably most of my life, you know. So just to go over some of the stuff that was said on the clip by Claude Anderson, he did say that you know, he pointed out some of the stuff that's going on currently so that black people could understand why we do need reparations. Because, I mean, if black people don't even understand why they need reparations or don't think they need reparations, like, it's a lost cause. And we'll forever, like, you know, be in the position of being mentally enslaved to think that we are a free people when in actuality we not. We're just, you know, I guess the freedom of being comfortable, the freedom to, you know, for some to be at a certain point where others are at, you know, not so much. I guess that's why they do that. You know, they put people in the environments that they do, you know, to prove who will be savage and, you know, step on the next person to get where they trying to get. But that's nevertheless, I don't want to get off the track of what we're on. So just to get back to what he was saying, because that is a part, nevertheless, that is a part of what he was saying, you know, because black people are togetherness. Like, people, if we don't get together, that is our biggest downfall. Biggest downfall. And I hate to even say it, because I feel like the main people that you hear say, they ain't going to do nothing. People ain't going to get together. Those be the main ones that be keeping the other people from getting together. They be two-faced. Basically, he did point out, though, that the blacks that in music, like the blacks in music, their experience, just not in music, but the black experience in America, period, what I was speaking on, how blacks are stepped on no matter, you know, how far they get. Some like that Jay-Z song, you know, you still black, no matter, you know, field nigga, house nigga, whatever, you still black. You know, you could be a billionaire, and, you know, people are still going to treat you, you know, in certain situations, in certain places, like, okay, he's still black, you know, he's, you know, we don't care, he's nobody, you know. But unfortunately, a billionaire does have the money to not even care and do what the fuck you want to do. But he even spoke on that where, you know, billionaires don't have to adhere to voting or worry about voting. In actuality, you know, even with this past election, we see that they even control the voting because, you know, we know that most of the people that was running in this race was billionaires, millionaires. Billionaires and millionaires. This past race, they was only billionaires, millionaires. You was not going to win this race if you didn't have a lot of money, period. So, you know, first of all. Second of all, you know, the billionaires, you know, they don't have to adhere to a law because they can go around the law and pay someone to, even someone like a judge, someone like a bailiff, someone like a stenographer, someone, I mean, it's ways to go around, you know, different things, you know, the law. You know, especially when you have money and you have an unlimited amount of it. You know, everyone knows there are witnesses that always come up missing sometimes, you know, never to be heard from again. So that's what I mean when I say, you know, they are seemingly above the law. And that's the black experience here, you know, when you're dealing with the law, you know, especially when you come up against things like that. And, you know, he was speaking on, you know, the music business, where the black people actually started everything, you know, whether it was the blues, R&B, country, jazz, whatever it was, the black people started it, and the white people came along and said, well, we're going to market and do this, whatever, and we're going to take over it. And then not only that, when they paid for the music or however they took over it, they decided that, well, we're going to put our people on it and, you know, and just completely over. They stripped blacks total control and ownership, not only in music, but everything, resources, all resources in America. I think he said blacks owned like maybe 0.1% or maybe 1.5% of the resources, and, you know, just owning only 1% of the resources, there is no way possible that we could ever, you know, be on board. I mean, be at the top of the game, you know, we don't own any of the resources. We don't own any of the water. We don't own any of the electricity. We don't own any of the daily necessities. And then not only that, our people are not together in the sense that we can control what we actually put our energy and our monies and our time and just everything into, you know. If we could even be together on that, you know, that would be, you know, a big win for us. Like, even in a political field, like Malcolm X, one of his biggest things that he would say is by any means necessary, you know. So, you know, a lot of people don't vote because they feel like they don't have a man in that race. And being that, you know, Dr. Claude brought the point that, you know, billionaires are above the law, even though with that, there are ways to still use the law to your advantage to get these type of people or to fight those type of people, you know. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, as we came together as a people, and like we aren't in enough, have enough positions on the board, you know, and we're actually owning it and we're together and get divided, we can actually come together and make something work and start to fight and have a chance to make a change or begin to fight. Period. And like in the voting arena, you know, if we come together, have our own parties, put the people in there deserving that's going to actually fight for us, then that could work. and that's by any means necessary. Understandably, no one is at that position yet, but, you know, we have 2 years to build now. Probably not a whole 2 years right now, but if we plan on getting there, we have to start somewhere. So, wait a minute. I said 2 years. I'm sorry, y'all. 4 years. 4 years. We have another 4 years. 2 years for the, you know, state elections, you know, if we want to change those elections. Probably a year and a half. But nevertheless, 4 years if we want to change the bigger election with the presidents. But the biggest thing, y'all, is the coming together. We're in the position of healing. We're in the position of where we're coming to awareness and being aware of these situations that's going on, even being aware that, yes, you deserve reparations, if not for slavery, for different things, just for the fact that your ancestors had to endure things like being experimented on, vaccines, different vaccines, being experimented on when they went to the hospital, going for one thing, coming out with another. I mean, there are different lawsuits that are on the books. There are things that's there. It's nothing that we have to pull a rabbit out of a hat about. There's things that are in play, trust and believe. We just have to look for it, and we have to act on it and stop talking about it and be about it, people. Now, I have not personally seen this hashtag going around, us too hashtag, but I'm definitely for that hashtag because I do think that we are an exceptional, special people, and it's our time. Like, I don't care if this is an illusion, it's a dream, or it's whatever it is, you know. You have one life to live. You have to live for the best. You have to live it. Live, you know. So whatever it is that, you know, I've always wanted to be an activist. So that's what I've chose for me. So whatever it is, y'all, we are living in times where you have to just go for it. You have to just go for it, y'all. Because, like, it's so much history being made right now in real time. Like, there's going to be in the history books. And your grandkids would be able to go and find an encyclopedia, Google it, for that say, you know. So when talk about you in the future, your children, grandchildren, you know, you want to leave that mark. So whatever it is, you know, it's that time, you know. You're aware of what's going on. Don't go back to sleep, you know. It's not time to be sleepy. It's time to move your people forward. It's our time, y'all. When we was growing up, we was the kids that Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston was singing to, telling us that it was going to be our time, that we was the ones that could do it. We was the ones that can make the change. You know, it's not time to forget our ancestors and go to sleep and, you know, forget our roots and turn our back on who we are as a people. It's not that time. It's the time to know, to be aware of who we are and to take up those traditions and make those traditions anew and go forth with our children and make sure that our children survive. Because when we're not here, what are we going to leave for them? When we're not here no more, what have we done to secure the future for our children and our generation and your grandchildren? So you have to think about those things. You know, you can stay in a bubble if you want to, but are your grandkids safe in that bubble? So there's the Us Too hashtag. You can actually go to powernomics.com. Powernomics. That's powerecs.com. And look up the information and get be a part of the movement to move your people forward. Not only Powernomics, you can go to the Black Business School. I think he also has Mr. Anderson's information on there, but Mr. Anderson is the direct person with the programs. He's the man right now. And that's where we need to be, people. We need to, what he said, we need to challenge. We need to start challenging, not only challenging the man, we need to challenge ourselves. And we need to demand everything from ourselves. Challenge and demand ourselves as a people to come together. We want recognition? Well, we need to recognize. We need to recognize ourselves. We want reparation? Well, we need to repair ourselves. And that's why we are here fighting for you. So if we're here fighting for you, you need to fight for yourselves, Black people. It's time to black out. They want to take African-American, whatever they want to do, you know, let them have it. But they can't take who we are. They can't take our souls because we're going to blaze like the Black Knights we are. Constitutional, unconstitutional. However they want it. But constitutional, we're going to do it by any means necessary. Now, Mr. Clyde Anderson is giving us the keys. He has done this for 60 years. How much longer do you think we have to actually fight back? It's there, people. It's there in our face. It's right there. He's an older man. How much longer do he have? We got to get these things and teach it to our children. We need to teach our children in the way that they should go. We need to be teaching our children. I'm so glad he brought up the point about us needing at least two magnets in our communities. Yay. I am the first one. I've been an activist in my neighborhood. There was a school they tried to close down, and it's in the process of opening right now, H.S. Thompson. involved, people. You have to get involved. Nobody is going to do it for us. No white people, no immigrants, nobody's going to do it for us. We got to do it for ourselves. And we can't be ashamed of doing it for ourselves. We can't let anyone shame us out of wanting better for ourselves. You're not a warrior if someone can shame you into wanting to be repaired. We're not wanting and recognizing yourself and healing. And you don't have to be ashamed of making others recognize who and what you are. We are us too. We got to start saying it, us too. They want to say me too. Well, what about us? Us too. We want our reparations. We want what's due to us. And we're not going to just keep on just, oh, okay, you want to give me this $1,400? Shoot, I need that right now. After y'all did put me in this situation and made it to where I can't go to work and I can't take care of my kids because y'all did spread the disease. It's not my fault that y'all did spread this disease. I should be getting more than a funky $1,400. Gotta own that. I need to be getting my reparations right now. Y'all told us that there is no way that they can pay reparations. They ain't have enough money to pay reparations. But all of a sudden now, out of nowhere, there's trillions of dollars to be given, just given away. But no. We can't pay y'all reparations. But y'all can pull $1 trillion out your ass. It can magically appear. And I'm talking about as soon as they sign for it to drop, boy, it's going to be there. Let one of these big businesses go and sign for that money for their business. And then, not only that, do y'all know these businesses have signed to get millions of dollars? Millions of dollars. And half of these small businesses can't even get no money. Barely get $25,000. But they can't pay no reparations. So we should go for broke, right? We should go for broke. They giving it to us. We might as well take the risk. Us too, right? We are the U.S., right? Us too, right? We are the U.S., right? Our blood, sweat, and tears, right? Well, hello. Let's get it right, people. This is about reparations. And if you come to this show, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it. Because that's my number one pet peeve into coming and doing this show, fighting for my people. I am pro-black, and I don't hate no other color of people. I hate no one. I don't even hate my own black people. I'm not going to disrespect anyone to fight for my people and what's right by my people. And I'm not going to disrespect anyone. Sometimes I might not say things in the most careful way because, you know, I grew up from the hood and, you know, that's just the way I talk. No disrespect to anyone. Now, if you feel disrespected in any way, you could let me know. We could talk about it. We could discuss it and, you know, move past it. But I am pro-black for the people, and it's time for us to get together. And, like, Dr. Claude was speaking on, you know, it's okay to, be, you know, to have a heart and not want, to wish death on people, you know, because when I'm saying that, here in Dallas, we have a lot of immigrant boys that, you know, are being stopped at the border. And that are being housed, right, like in practically in the middle of our city. That's being interrogated, you know, and who knows what, because of human trafficking that has been going on way too long, you know, in this country of the United States. Not only human trafficking, but organ harvesting and other atrocious things like adrenochrome and blood being drinking and different, you know, stuff that has been going on to human beings, atrocities. And as we know here in this country, the people who get it worse than anybody is the black people. So now they're making laws to where, you know, these immigrant boys are going to come here and get work and get money and get all of these things. And I'm not above, you know, being helpful to other people, but I don't understand them being able to get, you know, all these programs and money and all of that when we still have homeless here who are being ran away from their only ways of living and don't have nowhere to go and is threatened to get taken to jail if, you know, they don't move. So I don't understand that. And most of those people are black, you know. But like I said, I'm not against other races. But other races need to understand that in order for the fight for the, what I would say, lower class people or the fight for blacks or whatever the fight is, everybody have to get behind the black people and get together up under that umbrella and that is the fight that needs to be held. And everyone should get behind us. And when that fight is won, then all is one. It's won, then all is one. And everyone should get behind that. And anyone who is not with that, is not understanding of that, and does not have compassion for that, is not really for us. They're just not. And in war and in fighting for our right, we cannot wear our hearts on our sleeves. We have to remember who we are, those African warriors. We cannot wear our heart on our sleeves. And it just is what it is. You're going to either be a warrior or you're going to die trying. You're going to step up to the plate or you're going to die trying. It is what it is. So I appreciate you all coming tonight on this show and listening to me tonight. I hope I didn't spark a little bit of enthusiasm to get in the fight and love. Get to love and to know thy neighbor. Get to love and know thyself, so that you can love thy neighbor. So we can come together as a people. And by the end of 2021, we are going into the new year together, fighting for our rights as a people, to no longer have the man's foot on our neck any longer. No. It is time. It is time, people. Do you hear the sirens? It is time. I appreciate you for coming on the show tonight, beautiful ones. And I really appreciate you for being patient with me. You know, it's always at the beginning, the first half of the year, the hardest, the most. You know, with dealing with our sons and, you know, their deaths, their birthdays, all of those things, you know, all the way up to June when my son got killed. So, but nevertheless, you know, we are stronger and we are here to win the good fight, because we are the ones who can do it. And that's why we're here at this time and place. And you have to step into who you are and to know and to come into that awareness, you know, not be afraid. No more fear. No more fear, y'all. No more fear. No more fear. Who you gonna be? Your purpose, your God-given purpose, your purpose. Who you are? What are you here for? You know? We have to step into it. You know what I'm saying? And you can't keep thinking about it and all that. You know what I'm saying? You just got to do it. Be Nike. Do it. I love you all. It's my pleasure, always. See you not next week, but the week after that. It'll be April. I'll see you all. I was thinking, y'all, I know if you heard me on the show this last past weekend, I was really, really thinking of starting back up every week. But fortunately, I did start back school. So, like, actually, today was my first day. So, you know, with that being said, you know, it's a lot. So we're going to keep it every other week, y'all. But I'll definitely be here. I'm dedicated to that every other week. All right. So you all come back and we'll be here. Y'all have a good night. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the ghetto, and this is the flex. Young niggas be throwing the rocks up in your face. My homie Jeezy yelling, yo, it's like a hold up. I'm pulling a gap to make the motherfucker fold up. In my Jag on my phone, talking business. Mac 10 to my dome, yo, it is sick. I'm telling him, drop a yellow box and we can go around. He dropped his dad, I picked it up and blew his ass down. I know it's stainless, but a simple fucking dirty bag. I'd rather hit my Uzi Rider to the tack-tack. It's for protection, not to kill or break a nigga's bones. Back to the story, here's the story, be the story on. His guts were battered, he was flattered up against the wall. My homie G was on my phone, bugging off my car. I tried to smash, but I'm looking at some high beams. Into the eyes of some motherfucking dope fiend. He seen me shoot him, so I shot him, blew his ass up. I shot my Uzi up in the air and then I smashed up. I'm rolling second in a milkshake. I like to eat crab, but I'm the first steak. I ain't no junk, motherfucker, so don't play yourself. I flip you over, fry your ass like a patty melt. And if you ever disrespect me, I'ma thank you. So say what up to the motherfucking East Bay. Man, I make up to your 9-5, I bomb the AK out. The winner of the 7, the box, they rob the bank and they way out. Legal or illegal, that's the way of the bay out. The government keeps the profit of cocaine and they way. Make sure that I'm up, make sure that I'm up if you don't give me my pay out. The niggas are from the past, they send for me every day. A 1,000 every day, I keep the 5 away. Just tell me the East Bay, G-A-N-G-S-T-A. Looked in my mirror, close range, right behind me. 10 individuals up in the Benz, 190. I ain't no dummy, knew right off, he's trying to kill me. If I don't smash full of buckshots, he will kill me. Hanging out the car, shots scatter, windows shatter, trouble. I shoot him up, bathe in his blood like Mr. Bubble. 187, did I do it with an AK? Another day, a nigga dead up in the alleyway. Why did I do it if my pistol and I packed it? I think they need to lock my ass up in a straitjacket. So while you suckers listen close to this warning, while I get into your ass like Sean. Funky shit, that's so dope and I'm your mouth up. You ever shut me, I'ma blow your fucking house up. And if you ever disrespect me, I'ma bank you. So say what up to the motherfucking East Bay gang. Gangsta, 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 gangsta. Kicking up off, gangsta, 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 gangsta. The gang's shit up because he's down with the fuck. Let's motherfuckers when we're coolin' the block. The X, the L, the A, the R, G, E. The motherfuck 187 Puppy. The ESP is with 187. The CMP is with 187. Now as I'm acting in this motherfucking jail cell, with nothing but dried up funk to smell, I'm thinking about the times that I gang fooled, and why I'm cooling in these fucked up county blues. I've murdered motherfuckers singular and in a pair, and in the morning I'll be getting the electric chair. But do I care? Yo, I can give a fuck less. The CIA, FBI, got it in the chest. Tapping my phone calls, wires hidden in my wall. I have the money flowing smooth like Niagara Falls. The glory got me, I'm considered a murderous criminal, because my bullet ate his ass like a cannibal. Before I chopped him with AK, I made him say his grace, and then I emptied the clip off up in his fucking face. His partner called him for backup as I was breaking out. Nigga, freeze or die, that's what I heard him shout. I hit the corner with quickness because I ain't the one to feel the fucking blast of a shotgun. And when they fry my ass, I'm going straight to hell. That's why I'm kicking your tail of a jail cell. And if they ever disrespect me,